Turn in your pew Bible with me this morning. We have a little bit of Bible reading to do this morning. And so I'm going to have you start in the book of Job. And if you wonder where you can find the book of Job, it's right before the book of Psalms. Job 14, verse 7 through 9. And then you're going to flip back a few books and you're going to go to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 47. And then we're going to end up in Revelation 22, 1 through 21. So we're going to read a little bit about Job and what he's experiencing, and then we're going to talk about Ezekiel and what that looks forward to in prophecy that speaks out also as the river of life. And the two chapters actually go together quite well. And so I want to share that with you this morning. I'm about on page 801. If you're close to that in the book of Job, your Bible might be a little bit different, but close to that page number. This is what Job says. Now, I want to set the context here just a little bit. Remember what Job went through in his life. God allowed Satan to just destroy his everything he had, his farming operation, his family, the house that he lived in, all those things. And so here we pick up Job 14. At least there's hope for a tree. If it is cut down, it will sprout again, and its new shoots will not fail. Its roots may grow old in the ground, and its stump die in the soil. Yet at the scent of water, it will bud and put forth shoots like a plant. Now, verse 9 is very key to this message this morning. And so I want you to just, I'll read it to you again, just the first part. Yet at the scent of water, it will bud. All right? Remember that in your thinking here this morning as I go through my message. Now turn back with me to Ezekiel chapter 47. I'm on page about 1369, Ezekiel 47, and we're going to read the first 13 verses. Notice what the title is of this, The River from the Temple. It speaks directly to Revelation 22, what John sees. And so, listen to what this has to say. The man brought me back to this entrance to the temple, and I saw water coming out from under the threshold of the temple toward the east, for the temple faced east. The water was coming down from under the south side of the temple, south of the altar. He then brought me out through the north gate and led me around the outside to the outer gate facing east. And the water was trickling from the south side. As a man went eastward with a measuring line in his hand, he measured off 1,000 cubits. And then led me through water that was ankle deep. He measured off 1,000 cubits and led me through water that was knee deep. He measured off 1,000 and led me through water that was up to my waist. He measured off 1,000, but now it was a river that I could not cross, because the water had risen and was deep enough to swim in, a river that no one could cross. He asked me, "Son of man, do you see this?" Then he led me back to the bank of the river. When I arrived there, I saw a great number of trees on each side of the river. He said to me, "This water flows toward the eastern region and goes down in the Arabah, where it enters the Dead Sea. When it empties into the sea, the salty water there becomes fresh." So do you get this vision? This is Jerusalem, the temple of God, the water flowing out, if you know the Holy Land. And what do you know about the Dead Sea? Is there anything in it? Nothing. It's dead. It's salty. It's not good for anything. But notice what this water does. Let me find my spot back here. When it empties into the sea, the salty water there becomes fresh. Swarms of living creatures will live wherever the river flows. There will be large numbers of fish, because this water flows there and makes the salt water fresh. So where the river flows, everything will live. Fishermen will stand along the shore from En-Gedi to En-Eglaim. There will be places for spreading nets. The fish will be of many kinds, like the fish of the Mediterranean Sea. But the swamps and marshes will not become fresh. They will be left for salt. Fruit trees of all kinds will grow on both banks of the river. Their leaves will not wither, nor will their fruit fail. Every month they will bear fruit, because the water from the sanctuary flows to them. Their fruit will serve for food, and their leaves for healing. Now go with me to the book of Revelation, chapter 22. We're going to read it in its entirety. And by the time we get done here with this series today, you will have read the entire book of Revelation with me over the pulpit here. Notice the title of this heading, Eden Restored. Now, where do we find the Garden of Eden at in the Bible? Where? The book of Genesis, exactly. Now, this is the last book of the Bible, and now we see that the Garden of Eden will be restored. And so, listen along to what these words tell us this morning, and then we'll get into the message and we'll start to unpack all of this. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb. Down the middle of the great street of the city, on each side of the river stood the tree of life. Take note of that as well. Bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night, for they will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. And the angel said to me, "These words are trustworthy and true. The Lord, the God who inspires the prophets, sent this angel to show his servants the things that must soon take place. Look, I am coming soon. Blessed is the one who keeps the words of the prophecy written in this scroll. I, John, am the one who heard and saw these things. And when I had heard and seen them, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who had been showing them to me. But he said to me, 'Don't do that. I am a fellow servant with you and with your fellow prophets and with all who keep the words of this scroll. Worship God.' Then he told me, 'Do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this scroll, because the time is near. Let the one who does wrong continue to do wrong. Let the vile person continue to be vile. Let the one who does right continue to do right. And let the holy person continue to be holy. Look, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to each person according to what they have done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may go through the gates into the city. Outside are the dogs, those who practice magic arts, the sexually immoral, the murderers, the idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you this testimony for the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, 'Come,' and let the one who hears say, 'Come.' Let the one who is thirsty come, and let the one who wishes to take the free gift of the water of life. I warn everyone who hears the words of prophecy of this scroll. If anyone adds anything to them, God will add to that person the plagues described in this scroll. And if anyone takes words away from this scroll of the prophecy, God will take away from that person any share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in this scroll. He who testifies to these things says, 'Yes, I am coming soon.' Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with God's people. Amen." The book of Revelation. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we read from your scripture today. Lord, we thank you for the words of Job and Ezekiel and Revelation from John. Lord, we pray that you bless this next 15, 20 minutes with us together as we expose your word to the people who are listening today. Lord, may you bring that word to life through your Holy Spirit. And as you speak of this river of life, Lord, may we experience that in a new way today. Lord, I pray that these words are your words and never mine. May you fill me with that same Spirit. Empower me to bring your message to your people. In Jesus I pray, amen. We had a box elder tree at the farm place just west of town here. A pretty nice tree that stood for many years, longer than what we've owned the property. And this tree came up about 6 foot and had a pretty good base on it. And it had three big branches that came out in different directions. And you know that a box elder tree is usually hollow in the middle. And it's not a very clean, nice-looking tree, but it was a tree that provided great shade on the yard. In the summertime, you could park your vehicle under it, or you could gather underneath it, and it was just a cool place to be. Well, in three different storms throughout this past summer, each branch of this tree fell down. You know, you get out there, and you've been that in your yard or on your farm place. You get up after the windstorm and say, oh, that tree fell down. Oh, that branch fell down. Well, that happened to me three times this past year with this tree. And by the end of the season here, all three big branches were gone, and all that was left was a pretty large stump about 6 foot tall. And so I decided that it was time to cut that down, and you see that tree stump here this morning on the farm. It's pretty much dead. And so maybe this morning, my point that I want to make with you today is maybe you come into here or you're listening at home, and this might represent your life. I feel like I'm spiritually dead. Nothing left to offer. And maybe it's not only spiritually, maybe it's physically. Maybe you're going through things in your life that you're experiencing that you never thought you'd experience before. Hard things in life. And so I also want you to realize this morning that over time, you and I experience different kinds of losses in our lives. We endure life-changing events and circumstances that alter life. Maybe some of you feel you've been cut down today. Your dreams, your hopes have been broken. They've been shattered, with the pieces being scattered, with seemingly no hope to ever reassemble them. You think that this is how life will be from now on. It'll never change. It'll never get better. And so just let me remind you of a few things that might alter your life. Disease, cancer, illness, financial setbacks, violence, or even the loss of a loved one takes its toll. By the way, the tree that I mentioned in the book of Job this morning, I assume that it was a pretty good-sized tree that he was speaking of. It was no little sapling that you just snap off and then it died. I think this was probably a big tree with deep roots that Job was talking about. He was trying to compare his life to something of where he was at. And I think that this tree weathered the storms and the seasons of life. And its roots go deep into the soil. Now, Job compares this tree's present condition to his life. Everything he had hoped for and dreamed about was gone. I share a little bit with you this morning about the loss of his family and his farming operation and even his own house. To him, things are dead. His life is as barren as this tree. And in his mind, this tree has a better chance of coming back to life than he does in his present situation. Now, many of us might be able to relate to that scenario today with things that we've endured in our own lives. Some of you are a little bit older, more experienced in life. You've been through a lot of things. Loss of loved ones, the diagnosis of cancer, those types of things have entered into your life, and they've changed things. They've changed how your Thanksgiving meal will look like this coming Thursday, haven't they? Things are different than what they used to be. But Revelation 22 says we don't have to remain this way. We don't have to live in this condition. And this is the hope that I want to give you this morning when I talk about kind of the downer things in life. And so I want to turn the page to you just a little bit. There is hope for a new beginning. There is hope for a renewed life. There's hope, and most importantly, in our relationship with the Lord. If you find yourself distant and far from him this morning, there's hope for sprouting up again as a tender shoot. And you might ask, well, how was this possible? Well, what does this look like in my life? And so let me explain that to you this morning. Job goes on in verse 9 to explain this. And here's what I told you. Remember the verse? Remember? Yet at the scent of water, it will bud and put forth shoots like a plant. What is he talking about? Notice it's at the scent. The smell of moisture. Not the moisture itself. Just the smell of moisture that will revive what was once thought dead. And that can happen even in our lives. Now, how many of you have stood outside daytime or nighttime and you see the storm rolling from the west and you get the scent of rain? Have you smelt that before? Yeah? And some of you not shaking your heads, you need to get out a little more, okay? You smell that scent of rain. It smells good, doesn't it? You're anticipating that God's going to wash the earth with rain and it's going to flourish the crops and the grass and the flowers and whatever it might be. And you look forward to that shower of warm rain. See, this is what Job is describing to us here. Let me talk about your faith just a little bit with that scent of rain. It's a deep down knowledge and assurance that the life-giving and sustaining properties of water is on its way. You can't wait. Think about that rain shower that nourishes the earth. Think about this scent of water that Job speaks of that will nourish your life. The smell of rain before it comes. We sniff the air. We know that it's on the way. And so this is my desire for you today. To give you that scent of water, the scent of the Holy Spirit, the scent of hope, the scent of renewal, the scent that will invigorate your life, the scent that will revive our souls and our spirits to continue on in this life. Now, on the bottom of the screen, I have Revelation 22, verses 1 through 5 on here. And if you have your Bible open, you can follow along. Now that you know about the scent of water, I want to go into these verses and we're going to talk about these. Listen closely. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and the Lamb down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. There's a lot to take in those few verses. But let me try to explain that to you this morning. There are several key elements to this new Jerusalem that I've been speaking about here the last several weeks. Where the Lord will reign forever with those who have come to belief in Jesus Christ. Your name is in the book of life, which we talked about. But within the courtyard, there's a tree that straddles the river of the waters of life. That tree is the tree of life. Now, where else do we see the tree of life, people? If you know your book, where was it in the beginning? In the Garden of Eden, the tree of life. So let me explain this. You're going to have to track with me pretty close because we're going to go a little deeper here this morning. So listen closely. This is the same tree that God planted in the Garden of Eden in Genesis. But when Adam and Eve sinned, when they disobeyed God, they ate fruit from the tree of good and evil. Remember that story? You've all learned it. But the tree of life was also planted there. And if they would have eaten from the tree of life, that would have sustained them eternally in their eternal state of sin. And God would have said, I can't have sin in my life. You cannot eat from the tree of life. And he plucked it up out of the garden and he transplanted it in the new Jerusalem in heaven with him today. And that's where it's planted today. And when you and I eat fruit from that tree, it is eternal fruit. It is eternal life. And so God has protected that tree. But here, in the new heaven, the new city, the tree's going to be planted one day again upon this earth. And you and I will get to see that tree of life. We will eat from it. And we will be blessed by that tree of life. Do you understand where I'm at so far? Shake your head. Yep, I get it. Right? All right, let's go on. So there's no more curse. Ever since Adam and Eve sinned, the earth has been cursed, right? It's cursed to aging. It's cursed to corruption, theft, deterioration, death, decay, disasters. Yet in the new heaven and the new earth, this curse will be wiped out. And there's freedom from evil and death. Now we come to the part where I need you to pay attention again. Listen to what is spoken of here. It's that scent of water that we talked about. Notice the throne. Who's present on the throne? The Bible mentions two people, God the Father and Jesus Christ the Son. So let me ask you this morning. Where's the Holy Spirit in the mix of this? All right? You got to read between the lines a little bit here. You're going to see it here this morning as we bring this out. If you look real hard, you'll see the presence of the Holy Spirit, for he's none other than that pure river of the water of life that flows from the throne. Revelation 22, verse 1, if you have your Bible open with you this morning, it says this: Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb. And so you're starting to catch the scent of water. You're going to catch it more and more as I go through this message this morning. The scent of the Holy Spirit in your life. In Ezekiel 47, he sees a similar vision, the similar river that he speaks of here, prophecy. Now we see the water flowing from the temple, and over time it becomes a mighty river, doesn't it? Right? It flows from Jerusalem through the desert, flows into the Dead Sea, and it will change the whole complexion of the desert as well as the Dead Sea. The Garden of Eden returns right here on earth. That's what the Bible speaks of. Ezekiel sees it. John sees it in Revelation. Waters that were once dead and deadly to drink will be healed, and they'll teem with life. Trees will grow by the river's bank, trees whose leaves will never wither, and that will continually bring fruits year-round. 12 fruits is the number of perfection, remember that? You'll have food forever. Never will there be shortages. Never will you go without a blessing from God the Father in the presence of this new earth. And Jesus releases this river. He releases the Holy Spirit that will flow not only into us, but from us, that will bring both healing and renewal. And remember what I told you. Where the river flows, everything will live. Think about that for a moment. Are you getting the scent of water? Because inside of each and every one of us who comes to faith in Jesus Christ resides the temple of the living God. And within his temple, within you and I, flows this same river of the waters of life that Revelation 22 speaks of, the Holy Spirit. All right, are you tracking with me now? We got the river of life coming from the city that nourishes the soil, brings the Garden of Eden back in the new heaven and new earth. But get this, you and I get to experience that living water today through the Holy Spirit. I'm going to ask you some questions here this morning. How much of this river, how much of the Holy Spirit do you allow to flow through you today? Some of us have dammed it up. We don't like that feeling. We don't want to go there with the power of the Holy Spirit. Some of us let just a little trickle out. Oh, yeah, I know he's there. But don't call me to do things I don't feel comfortable with. Don't call me to get outside of my comfort zone or my box. Just let me do my job and let me go to church on Sunday. See the trickle. the trickle. And then there's others who flow like a mighty river, and they live full out for God. So where are you at in the midst of all that? So here's the real question. Can we determine the flow of the Holy Spirit? You know what my answer is to you this morning? Yes, we determine the flow. God gives it. You determine the flow of the Holy Spirit in your life. But here's how it works. And so we need to look at a story of Jesus Christ in the Bible. Mark chapter 6. If you want to know, if you need to write it down, do that. I'm going to just briefly go through this story with you this morning. And you're going to see the flow of the Holy Spirit. Okay? And you're going to get some understanding of what's going on. And maybe you might see yourself in this story, and maybe you won't. But I think you probably will, and you figure out where you're at. All right? So Mark goes back to his hometown. Or excuse me, Jesus does. What was Jesus' hometown? Starts with an N.
Nazareth,
right? He goes to Nazareth. And he gets there. And he desires to do great work with his people that he grew up with, his friends and his family and his neighbors. He wants to bring healing. He wants to bring miracles to that city, to the people of Nazareth. And what did they do to him? They welcomed him with open arms. They rejected him. They said, Jesus, we don't need your ways. We're doing quite fine the way we are living life. We know who you are. So he wasn't allowed to do any miracles there. Except he laid his hands on a few people and he healed a few people and so on that maybe had the flu or a cold, right? And the point is that there was a trickle of the Holy Spirit in that city. But some people dammed it up, said, no, we don't need that. That's crazy town, right? And this is what happened in verses 5 and 6. He could not do any miracles there except lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them. And then get this, this is what he said. He was amazed at their lack of faith. So he said to them, now, here's what I don't want you to do this morning. Don't hear me say, well, the reason that we don't receive healing or our answers are prayer because we have a lack of faith. That is not what I'm talking about here. That's a whole different subject. But I'm talking about everyday life, the way you live. See, in Nazareth, there was what we might call a power shortage. A measurable degree of God's power was missing. They denied it. They won't accept it. They won't use it. Now notice it didn't say, if you were to read that chapter in there, it doesn't say that Jesus chose not to do a mighty work, nor does it say he didn't want to do a mighty work, because clearly he did. He wanted to go there and bring the people physical healing, emotional healing, and spiritual healing. Just as you and I can receive today. So what does it say? So what does it say is that he couldn't because of the people's unbelief? Why does it say that? So here's maybe another way I want you to think about it this morning. Jesus couldn't get enough of the river flowing through the people to do what he wanted to do. Now, I'm not saying to you that Jesus wasn't strong enough or he had the power to, because he sure could have. But he needed them to come along with him to get to that point in their life that, you know what, I believe that everything that Jesus speaks of and what he does is true in the Bible. And you might be sitting there today thinking, yep, I believe all that stuff. I get it. I understand it. You know, the kids sit up here this morning and they know the right answer to the question, who helps us? Who helps us? God and Jesus, right? But my point is do you live it? Because often I think we say, yep, God and Jesus will help us. And he does. But how much water is flowing through you? There was a trickle in Nazareth. Some were healed. But there was no mighty flow. And a measurable amount, think about your own life now, a measurable amount of water needs to flow in your life to get to the wilderness and the deserts that you experience. Now, there's two ways to look at that. God can carry us through what we go through on earth right now, today. He can empower us. He can lift us up out of the dumps, and we've lost loved ones, and we know where they are if they're a believer in Jesus Christ. We get that power today. We can use that here as we live life. That's hope for you and I today. And also, you need to realize that there's a way deeper thing going on here this morning, and that is one day everything will be renewed. Everything restored to better than before. I don't know if a lot of us understand that. What's going through your mind right now? Did you ever think deeply about all those things that have gone in your life? The loved ones you've lost, the jobs you've lost, the homes you've lived in, the brokenness of your family, addictions, alcoholism, cancer, Lyme disease. God says, fully restored. 100%. That's what Revelation 22 speaks of. That's what this water speaks of. The river. And so I have a verse on the bottom of the screen here this morning. Ephesians 3 verse 20. Paul said this. What did Paul mean when he said these words? Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. That's the Holy Spirit. Abundantly, exceedingly. See, you see, what Paul is trying to tell us for you and I this morning is that God wants to superabound in our lives through the power of the Holy Spirit. Every day he wants to live that. He wants you to be out on the edge. Revelation 22 speaks of the renewal that will come in the new heaven and the new earth. But it also speaks of the power of the Holy Spirit in the world that you and I live in today. Sometimes I think we miss out on that. So let me ask you an even harder question. So if this is true, why aren't we experiencing the fullness of everything God would have for us in this life today? That's a good question, isn't it? Right? Why isn't the church on fire? Why aren't people coming to Christ in massive numbers? Why don't we see miracles of God like the Bible speaks of anymore? And here's why. People often ask me that question, right? The problem isn't with the power source of God. The problem is with the flow through you and I. I'm going to make a pretty bold statement here this morning, and it might offend some of you, but I think this is reality of where we live in the American church today. I think, besides a few people in the church, the American church is dead. That's what I think. There are more people leaving the church than coming into the church. There are more people that leave the faith than come to the faith. And it's not because of God. It's because we've dammed up the Holy Spirit. We're just a trickle. See, and God can't use us when we're just a trickle. So is the Holy Spirit flowing out from us in a mighty river or a trickling brook? What I found interesting is I read the book of Ezekiel, and I read that with you this morning. The account there is that the degrees of depth as they get down the river. Did you notice that when I read that to you this morning? Right? It started off just above the ankle. Right? And then it came to the knees, and then it came up to the waist, and finally it was over the head. So how deep are you willing to go with God? See, some of us are just barely to the ankle. Yep, I know who he is. I get it. I can answer the right questions. Maybe you're to the waist. See, my goal as a pastor is to get you to the point where it's over your head. Living fully for God. The deeper we go, the mightier the flow, the more alive for Christ you become. And so I need you to catch that picture this morning. Ezekiel did. He got to the middle of the river and he couldn't stand anymore. He could swim. He said he couldn't even cross the river because of the current of the Holy Spirit that flows from the temple of God, the New Jerusalem, through God the Father and Jesus Christ. And so you say, well, what do we need to do? Right? What has to happen in our lives in the church to live like that? And here's our problem. We live in a world that is instant everything, right? From fast food to get rich schemes, we want it right now. When you and I pray, what do we expect right now? An answer, don't we? We want it right now. Instant everything. It's prevalent in the church because of the culture we live in. It's where we expect God to move according to our timetable rather than his timetable. And so on the bottom of the screen, you see that God isn't in the quick fix. Rather, he's into long-term healing. That's what he's after. He might answer your prayer instantly. He can do that. We've seen signs of that. But here's what I want you to understand. Sometimes the events that God allows you and I to come into our lives, and even those around us, they're all intended to draw us deeper into the water. So when you find yourself in those situations that you don't understand or you don't know what the answers are, God says, trust me. Come deeper into the water. I've got this. So Revelation 22 says. The Bible speaks that often we live in the flesh. See, God wants us to live in the Spirit. In the Spirit. And when you and I get scared, when we get worried, when we get terrified of things, we go to our old habits for comfort, don't we? And often, when we get on the edge of living for God, we get scared, we might get lonely, we might get terrified, and we retreat back into the flesh, the things we know of this earth, because they bring us comfort. See, God says in Revelation 22, don't go back to the things of this earth. Come to me. Go to the Spirit. He'll lead you. He'll guide you. He'll empower you to where you need to be. Now notice I'm not saying too that when you pray that God's going to heal everything on this earth because if I have faith that'll happen. Now you might pray and that could come, but God might bring healing in many different ways. And one of the times, and often in places, we see people who are sick or dealing with things. God brings healing when he calls them home to heaven, doesn't he? That's also a form of healing in Jesus Christ. And that's okay. That's just fine. Renewal and revival come when we pray, asking God to release the flow of water in your life. So today, maybe you're seeking God for a particular area of your life. I don't know what's all going on in all of your lives. Maybe it's healing. Maybe it's finances. Maybe it's something at work. Maybe it's your spiritual life is off the rails and you don't know what's going on. But to accomplish this, we need to pray for the release of that water in our lives. The flow has to get bigger. See, remember I said to you that I think the American church is dead because we've limited the flow. Now, I'm not talking about going all Pentecostal here, all right? That we just live strictly by the power of the Holy Spirit and we're speaking in tongues and all that kind of stuff. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about your trust and your faith in God for all the things that you face from day to day. That it's going to be okay. That you can trust in that plan. That's what Revelation 22 speaks of. You know, I showed you a picture of that stump on my place. It has deep roots. You know what I expect next spring? That there'll be little shoots coming back off of that, of new life. That can also be you and I in our spiritual lives from day to day. That's what we get to look forward to. And all of God's people said, amen.